Hey everybody, welcome to Three Guys One Up. I'm Keith. I'm sitting here with David and Spencer like usual.
What up?
Hey everybody.
And we're here today to talk about some PC building. You know, we've gone over the next gen systems coming out, the next gen games, the new games that are going to be seen on PC and stuff. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about putting together a PC that can actually run some of these games, whether you're wanting a budget box or going balls out for all the new stuff that's coming out this year, which is a lot of cool stuff. I guess I'll start out by asking, how's your little Frankenstein build coming along over there, David?
Our buddy Dylan dropped by last night while I was out running some errands and just kind of packed it up to cart it off for me, because I was feeling my way around in the dark for sure.
Really? I think all that thing needs, because it's pretty much your old, like, all your old parts, right, Spencer?
Yeah, it used to be the full PC. I just pulled the drives out, but yeah. Like I said, that I bought that new in 2011.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, like you said, it's a bit of a Frankenstein build at this point.
Yeah, but it'll get the job done, especially for a lot of Steam games and stuff like that. You're not going to be running a bunch of crazy shit, but it's got, I don't know. I love picking up old parts or taking my old parts and building old those old computers into something new for my friends. My old computer, I think my old roommate Dylan is still playing with that thing with a bunch of old parts. I think it's like a 580 Ti or something in there. It's some old ass card. But yeah, that's, I love repurposing old computers to give to somebody else to actually get use out of.
Yeah, you just sit there rotting forever.
Yeah, what I'll probably do with my old one once I rebuild, I want to rebuild at the end of the year when all these new graphics cards are going to be coming out. I might just let my wife take over this system so she can actually, because I got her a gaming laptop a couple of Christmases ago, but they can only do so much on those laptops. They are semi-capable, but having a desktop makes all the difference.
It's just a better experience overall.
Yeah, I agree. But anyway, let's talk about some of these parts that have already come out and what to expect later on in the year. I know you recently bought yours pre-built, right? Right, Spencer? Did you actually get to piece that together yourself, or was it just a full pre-build that you bought?
No, I bought it. I like custom ordered it and just had them build it. I've built so many computers in my day that I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pick everything. You send it to me pre-built. I just want to plug it in and turn it on. So that's what I did.
Yeah, that's nice. That's always comfortable to not have to put it all together and hit that power button for the first time and
hope.
Worry about it. Yeah. I've done,
you
know, that.
I don't have to worry about the burn-in. I don't have to do any of that. Like, it's all tested. It's ready to go.
Yeah,
I just play games.
Yeah, that sounds pretty sweet. I get some sort of sick enjoyment over spending a few hours piecing the PC together, running my cords the right way and stuff like that. I've built a bunch of my own computers for friends and stuff, and I find it to be kind of fun, but I definitely understand wanting to not have the worry of something arriving DOA or something like that.
Right. Yeah, not have to worry about that. Like, every time I've done it, like, eventually I just get a little lazy and, you know, I don't run the cables optimally and it doesn't look as good and, you know, it just comes out better.
Yeah, I hear you. What did you say, David?
I said Spencer's a lazy ass.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
That's fair.
So some of these parts that have already come out, let's jump into some CPUs. Ryzen, AMD just put out some really great Ryzen CPUs. They have a new 5, 7, and 9. There's the 3600 XT, the 3800 XT, and the 3900 XT. And you said you're running the 3900X, right?
Yeah, the Ryzen 9 3900X.
Yeah. So this is kind of essentially the same exact chip, I think, other than they tried to make it a little more efficient, little less power, run a little bit cooler. So this is a pretty nice upgrade for that. If you're already running something like what Spencer has, then there's no need to upgrade, obviously. But this is a cool thing to put out. And it's that one's a $500 chip. The Ryzen, the 5, the 3600 XT is a $250 chip. So you got something for those people wanting to go big dick, and you got something for those people wanting a budget box. And I really like that about AMD. They put out really quality chips. If you're going for bottom of the barrel, if you were to get this new Ryzen 5 3600 XT, which isn't really bottom of the barrel, but bottom of the barrel for the new ones, at $250, you're getting a fantastic chip. This thing is pretty boss. It's got 6 cores, 12 threads, up to 4.5 gigahertz. That's just pretty baller for $250.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Have you looked into the Threadrippers at all?
Yeah, I have, and it's just nutty, man, the numbers they're putting out.
I can't even believe some of the power coming out of those chips. Like, absolutely insane. 64 core processor.
Like, what
2.9 gigahertz each? That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many threads it's got. It's some ridiculous 128 threads. There it is. 128 threads.
What the fuck? Like, what the fuck do you do with that? I just don't even know. Like,
gaming, how, video processing.
Yeah, I guess mostly if you're like video processing, you're doing a whole lot of heavy rendering or something like that. That's where you would actually utilize some of that.
Some of all those threads and everything. Yeah.
Not a whole lot of gaming you can do that's going to utilize like even half of that.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about that being your choke point anymore.
No, I don't know how you'd cool it though. Even liquid cooling has got to be fucking on fire up in there.
It's 208, it can draw up to 280 watts.
Jeez,
$3,600 on Newegg.
Yeah. Like, for comparison, mine draws 105.
Yeah, the 105 watts is pretty standard for the big Ryzen chips right now. So, or your kind of standard Ryzen chips. That big Threadripper, that's just insane. You need a PSU to just run your process.
A dedicated PSU. That's fine.
Well, let's look at some of the Intel chips too. They just released some of their 10th gen stuff, and they've got a whole list. And if you're wanting to build a budget box, I know Intel isn't really hitting those same numbers that AMD has recently, but you could get a couple of these i3s that are running really nice numbers for well under $200. There's one i3 for $122. It's not going to be anything special, but if you're on a big budget, some of these new 10th gen chips are really great for budget boxes. I'm pretty impressed with Intel doing that, because that used to be the AMD thing.
Right. Yeah, like the i3 10th gen 10100.
Yeah.
That's 3.6 gigahertz, $130. Crazy.
Yeah, it's just a quad core. It's got 8 threads. It's like I said, it's nothing special, but
right,
that'll get you by. That's gonna run you some games. That's gonna be a really solid chip for you to upgrade to something else later, because it's in a good slot.
Right, it's got a good platform.
Yeah, but then you go to the top of this list and you look at those i9s, the 10900Ks, mm-hmm. and they're pushing some really big numbers. When you're throwing them into turbo, they're getting up to 5.3 gigahertz. I've even, one of my friends said that he saw people pushing them into like 5.6, and they were still cruising pretty well.
Wow.
I wouldn't really recommend that, but
I'd be a little worried about burning it out at that point.
Yeah, they are capable. They are pulling a little more power than the AMD. This one is running at 125 watts as opposed to the 105 that AMD is.
Yeah, it seems like that's pretty standard. The Intels, for some reason, draw that extra 20 watts of power.
You just pull more power. And this one only has 10 cores and 20 threads. So
that's the issue.
How much more power is pulling?
Yeah, it seems like they're a lot more focused, at least at this point, on those budget chips. Like, that i9-10900K is... Well, that's personally, a pricey processor.
It's too expensive for me for what I'm getting. If I'm going to throw... So this is, I'm looking at like a $488 cost on one of these chips, whereas the brand new Ryzen 9, the 3900 XT, is at $4.99, so just barely a bit over it, but it's, you're getting two more cores and four more threads. You're running at lower wattage, and I think they're running a bit cooler. Don't quote me on that, because I know that Intel has been trying some efficiency stuff with these new chips as well. They might be cooler.
I mean, that extra 20 watts is going to heat up, you know? I mean,
it is, yeah.
It's got to go somewhere.
Right. And they're
showing it's just good not numbers. Even as high. Like the performance, like apples to apples, the AMD still wins out.
There's not a whole lot of contest in those high-end numbers right now. If you're really pushing your system, AMD's the way to go. If you're not really looking to push your system and you're just kind of dinking around on some old games and stuff, Intel's a very fine choice, especially on a budget.
And yeah, for sure.
I do like seeing that. There's plenty of AMD chips for budget costs as well. And they are on a base Hexa core right now, where Intel's still running on a base quad core. That's where a lot of their lower end chips are going to be, where a lower end AMD is still going to be have a couple more cores. So,
yeah, isn't the big issue with that is that Intel is still trying to scramble to get down to 7 nanometers?
Yes, and they're also really focused on your all core turbo, where AMD has been focusing a lot more on single core speeds, which spread out over your 12 cores if you're going big, that does a lot more than your all core turbo. If all of your cores are running at a base clock higher than the competition, even if you can overclock the competition all cores to be higher, that base clocking is getting you so much farther on an AMD.
Right.
And yeah, they're looking to make smaller, faster chips, but they're still hot and power drawing, you know. That's a problem, and they're having to scramble to pick it back up. AMD came back with some force. I'm pretty happy about it. AMD was kind of lagging for a while, and I do like that company. I think they do really good stuff.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I used an Intel chip.
Yeah, I'm still running an Intel right now. I built this PC 4 years ago. Intel was doing some really big stuff with their quad cores and pushing a lot of overclock speeds to be way higher than AMD was seeing. And this one that I got, I think it's the 6700K or something like that, it's got a really great base clock. So I ended up going Intel, but my next build's definitely going to be an AMD build. And on that note, I might be going for the first time and since like my first build when I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, I might be going back to AMD GPUs pretty soon.
There's a lot of good stuff coming, like rumors coming out about the next, like the big Navi chips, the GPUs.
I mean, we're gearing up for some 3080 action later on this year coming out of NVIDIA. And some news came out from AMD saying that they are going to be directly competing with what NVIDIA is putting out, which we haven't seen in and I don't even remember how long. Like, even when I was building my first computers, I didn't know what numbers I was looking at. I had no idea. I remember having an AMD GPU, but I didn't really know what the competition was doing at that time. But now the competition is there. And what I really hope that means for us, whether I go with an AMD GPU or a NVIDIA card, I'm hoping that's driving prices down, you know?
God, I hope so, because that's like the biggest cost in any PC right now is that GPU.
Graphics are getting so expensive, and they're so necessary for literally everything. And they're getting bigger and badder, but dropping $1,200, $1,500, $1,800 on a card just doesn't feel good sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. What are you running right now?
Right now, I've got a 1070. I bought this brand new. It's an MSI 1070. I think it's a Super. And it's a really great card. I love the 10 series. When they first came out, they were blowing minds. They were actually some of the best cards that had come out in like a decade.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just been firing out card after card. The 2070s, the 2080s are phenomenal. You're running a 2070, right?
Yeah, 2070 Super. OC.
Yeah, that RTX, man, it's just too dope. You're getting some really, really crisp graphics out of those cards.
Yeah, it looks great. Mine runs hot. For some reason, they put two fans on it instead of three, so it runs pretty hot, but...
Yours is an MSI? I'll worry about
that when I upgrade it. Yeah, MSI.
Mine has three on it, and it's a 1080. I don't know. That's weird. Mine runs pretty cool, and that was a big thing when the 10 series was coming out, was how cool they were running compared to the 9 series.
Yeah.
Those things were getting fucking wicked hot. They were heating your whole box up. So... it's nice to see them utilizing the efficiency in these cards, but it surprises me that your 2070 is running hot, because I thought they had kind of taken care of that issue. But two fans, that'll definitely do it on these big-ass cards.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish they had dropped the third fan on it, but like I said, I'm not too worried about it. I'm going to upgrade it probably when the 3 series comes out this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited for those 3080s, and I'm really excited to see what AMD brings to the table with their RDNA 2 GPUs, the big Navis, stuff like that. They're cool cards, and they've always kind of taken a backseat to NVIDIA, and I think this next series will still not quite see the benchmarks that NVIDIA is seeing, but they're going to be close enough that people are going to go for AMD cards if they're at a lower cost, which AMD has been really good about doing with their graphics in the past.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Keep an eye out, especially on all the graphics coming out. Look up the 3080s, the 3080 Ti's. They're going to be really cool cards. They're supposedly supposed to be super affordable, is what they're saying. I don't know what the fuck that means, because super affordable can mean maybe $600, which is very doubtful, but super affordable will most likely mean like $1,200.
Right, which is still not that affordable.
Yeah.
Did you see that rumor that came out about the 3080 might require a new power connector, like a brand new standard?
Yeah, you were telling me that, and that's going to put a lot of people out with running their current PSUs. I mean, I'd have to buy a brand new PSU to do that. Or yeah.
Like an adapter or something adapter would have to come with it. Like,
I'm fully modular. I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, I could just get a cable, I guess. But yeah, it doesn't seem like a good decision to make. Like, wouldn't you? I feel like you would only do that once a new form factor has already been fairly adopted, at least, especially among, like, you know, hardcore builders. At least
you got to really ease into something like that. And it's difficult in the tech world, but you're coming out with these big brand new cards and making people buy additional parts in addition to that really pricey card. People are not going to be happy about that. I wouldn't be. And if AMD isn't doing that, they're going to sell a lot more cards than NVIDIA is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that could be, you know, a big issue for me upgrading, and I might switch to a big Navi when it's time to upgrade. If that's the case, like, I'm not going to spend an extra $200 on a, you know, some brand new form factor power supply.
Just because that. Those are also going to be much harder to come by than your normal PSUs that are on the market right now. You're going to have to go for that specific brand that's only making that PSU that will run those cards. Yeah, that could bring up some problems for them, for sure. And let's talk a little bit about how we're cooling our systems, because we did talk about this a bit earlier. You have liquid cooling. You said you wanted to make a custom loop eventually, right?
Yeah, I've currently got a 240 millimeter all-in-one for my CPU. One of those all-in-one systems. You don't have to fill them. You don't have to check them. Like, you just plug it in, attach it, and go.
It's a beautiful thing that they're doing that these days. It makes liquid cooling so much easier.
It does, yeah. My only concern is that I do wish I had one that I could loop the GPU into to cool it down.
Yeah. Well, and luckily right now, you don't really have to worry about that with the 2070 that you're running. But if you're going to upgrade later and get that bigger card, you're going to want to loop that in, probably.
Some of the third-party NVIDIA manufacturers are actually making cards with these all-in-one coolers, like, attached.
I've seen them. I think EVGA has a couple of different cards that have the liquid cooling attached into it, and they're pretty solid looking cards too. I don't know anybody that runs one because they're fucking expensive. But I'm still
running. Were like an extra, adds like an extra $100-$150 to the cost of it.
Yeah, and they're already expensive cards, so that usually makes or breaks that deal for some people. If you're going big dick, it's really pretty easy to just kind of blow that $100 off for a nice little easy liquid cooling. But a lot of people building PCs these days, me being one of them, is trying to weigh the options of, do I buy a next gen or do I spend twice as much, if not more, on PC parts to upgrade that system?
Right.
You know, going
budget, an interesting choice.
It's a big thing for your average gamer, I would say. Not everybody's able to drop $3,500, $4,500 on a PC.
Yeah, that's crazy for me. I couldn't even imagine being able to drop that much.
No, yeah. And then with VR getting big too, people wanting to get a rig that can actually run VR, but then you got to buy the VR setup as well. So right.
Any of the decent systems are minimum like $600-$700. And if you want to go like top of the line, get the Index, that's $1,000.
Yeah. And it's just cost is getting way out of hand with some of this PC building. So hopefully a lot of the budget stuff that's coming out is going to be very capable. Cause
yeah, like, I want to play Half-Life Alyx as much as the next guy, but that one's going to have to wait a little while.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, I still have a fan radiator in mine. It runs really well. I know with some of these new AMDs that they just released, they're saying it's user preference. They don't really recommend one way or the other unless you're just going to be running really hot. You're going to be doing a lot of video rendering or something. Then you want a liquid cool. But they're saying a lot of these fan radiators are going to cool their chips just fine, which is really good to hear because some people don't want to mess with the liquid cool, even though it has become so streamlined these days. It used to be a pain in the ass to set up a liquid cooling system, and now it's fucking cakewalk.
Yeah, doing a whole custom loop and everything is still a bit involved, and you know, you have fail points, and you got to check the coolant levels every so often and top it off and whatever. But yeah, those all-in-one systems are just
plug and play.
Yeah, I love it. Like I said, being able to just not even worry about it, not have to check it, not have to you know, constantly be worried whether or not there's going to be a leak in the system and ruin a, you know, $2,500 system or however much you spend on it, you know?
Yeah. With David putting up together his Frankenstein box, it's... But do you know what processor that was running? Or what chipset it was running? That was... That was probably a while ago for you.
Yeah, that was quite a while. I know it's AMD. I want to say it was an AMD FX4.
Okay. Yeah, and there's a bunch of chips in that set too. I don't know. I'm thinking of things that we could down the line put in that box for David because that's a pretty sweet case. It's got some good parts in that. Get a little bit better GPU as one of the first upgrades, and I don't know, piecing together those builds can be a lot of fun just part by part.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing I do want to move on to is RAM, because RAM has dropped in price pretty good recently, and you could get a lot of stuff for a pretty low price. I know you were wanting to upgrade your RAM, Spencer.
That's just more of a want. It's not necessary right now. Like I'm running 32 gigs of 3600, I think.
Yeah.
DDR4. And it's fine. It's just 4 sticks of 8. And I was thinking about maybe at some point upgrading to 4 sticks of 16.
Yeah. Which like you said, at this point, going up to 64 is nice, but there's really not a whole lot that you need that for right now.
Yeah. It's a luxury.
But within the next few years, we might see in that become more of the, like 32 becoming more of the standard. It's already, for some of these bigger games, they are recommending 16 or requiring 16 and recommending up to 32. So that's
even Star Wars Squadrons requires 16 minimum.
Yeah, I think it is. which is big, you know. I remember when I built mine, I put 32 in it 4 years ago, which was there was no reason for that at all. And it's still holding up. I like to future-proof a bit, especially when I built this. I had a little more disposable income, so future-proofing is always a nice thing. So sticking a couple extra sticks of RAM in there, that's always a great way to future-proof parts of your box.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the nice sticks coming out right now. Corsair is making some really solid sticks. They are a bit pricey. What I usually go with is the mid-range price of the G-Skills. I love G-Skills. What do you usually run in yours?
G-Skill, Corsair are both ones I've used before. I think I have Patriot in mind now, which I hadn't had any experience with, but it was like a deal when I built the computer. It seems to be fine. I'm not having any issues.
Yeah. I mean, RAM issues aren't usually a problem.
Right. Not too prevalent usually.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're looking to build budget, Kingston HyperX sticks are usually always at a really good price, both DDR4, DDR3, depending on what your MOBO's running. Kingston is a really solid company for getting you some budget sticks, but G-Skills are my tried and true. I've used Corsair a couple of times in the past, and they're good sticks, but I've never, ever had any RAM issues with my G-Skills.
Yeah, it looks like I am. It is Patriot. I pulled up Patriot DDR4 3200 Viper Elite.
Nice.
And they've got the heat sinks and everything on them. They're not RGB or anything, but didn't go too fancy with it.
Yeah, some of the RGB stuff is getting fucking out of hand. I don't even have a single fucking light on my case right now. I used to be way into that, getting all the different LED fans, all the RGB, everything. And it's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck anymore. I want to turn the power on this thing off, watch every light go black, and it's just a black box. I don't need anything fancier than that. If everything in there is working, that's good. I need little red dots telling me that things are working, and I'm fine.
That's fair. Like I said, this is the first computer I've had since like RGB became a thing. So I've got all six of my fans are RGB. The all-in-one CPU cooler is RGB. I got an RGB mouse. I got an RGB keyboard.
Well, I have RGB mouse and keyboard too. I'm not a fucking idiot. I'm not
a fucking scrub over here.
Yeah, what? Like, if I'm gonna play first-person shooters, I've got to be good, and RGB makes you good.
Yeah, rainbows make everything better.
It's true.
I feel like my shitty laptop is really, really lacking right now.
I have some RGB on it and get good.
Yeah, putting RGB on your laptop is like dropping a turbo in your car.
Just drop a turbo in it. Just drop a turbo in it. God.
So, just keep some stick-on light strips, man.
Some of why I wanted to have this episode, though, is to talk about some of this. And I really just wanted to look at prices and see if we could maybe do some upgrades sooner rather than later in David's machine, because having a good PC is such a joy these days. One of the biggest, if some of you out there haven't done this upgrade, putting an SSD in your case, that is probably one of the biggest upgrades you could possibly do right now.
I think that's going to be the first step that I take with this computer is transferring the OS to a nice SSD and putting that upgrade in.
It is huge recommend, man. Like I said, again, like this is what happens when you buy a PC in 2020, but the last one you bought was 2011. Like I went from 7,200 RPM hard drives to this M2 PCIe 1 terabyte like solid state drive, and it is ridiculous. Like at one point I was cleaning it out and I was like, I've never seen what this looks like. I'm gonna go try to find it. Couldn't find the damn thing, and then I realized that it's like the size of a stick of gum.
Yeah. For a terabyte.
It blew my mind. And then my computer boots from like complete dead cold to being able to launch a game in under 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And after having a machine for a number of years with those 7200 RPM HDDs, if you were going from a cold start, you were waiting 10, 15 minutes for your thing to boot up. Like, once those things got old, they were just sluggish as fuck. I remember getting a brand new HDD and being like, damn, this thing is so fast. But you give it a couple of years and it deteriorates. Whereas these SSDs, like, they do have some of that slowdown, but it's nowhere near what a hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, you still get software rot and everything, but
right.
The physical degradation isn't there.
Yeah, and it's just an incredible upgrade. If you're still booting, even if you just get a small SSD to stick your OS and operations and stuff on that, and you can keep your hard drive for your games and stuff, given if you have the means, definitely put all your games and stuff on a SSD as well. It increases load speeds like crazy. But if you can't, just stick your operating system on an SSD, make your boot times way, way faster. It is a massive upgrade. Okay, so I remember I was putting together a couple of days ago on PC Part Picker, which is a great website. If you're looking to build a PC, you can go through and choose all your parts and tells you about compatibility, where to buy them, stuff like that at the best prices. So PC Part Picker is really where I usually go to. I know there's a couple other websites out there, but I tend to gravitate towards that one. It's just ease of use. And I put together a budget box just for fun. And you can put together a really pretty nice PC these days for right around $800 to $1,000. And I think a lot of people are going to have to consider doing that over some of these next gen systems, especially if you're not a PlayStation person. And we got 4 days left until Xbox shows us what they got. But if you don't want a PlayStation and you still want a game, look into building a PC because you can do it for fairly cheap.
Yeah, overall, for sure.
Where did you build yours, Spencer?
I use CyberPower PC.
Okay.
They also supply a bunch of like pre-made boxes, like no frills stuff, like to Best Buy. Amazon carries them, or you can do a custom build direct through their website. Yeah, I really liked it. Their service was great. It took a little while because I ordered it. I was stupid and ordered it right before Christmas, but to do a custom build can take a few weeks and everything. But some of the pre-made systems are stellar, really good deals.
Yeah, that's cool. I usually don't even look at those types of things, but I'm going to have to do that for my next build because, like you said, just being able to have it shipped to you and plug it in and power it up, that sounds pretty fucking sweet to me.
Yeah, and even like their OEM boxes, like the ones you can just buy pre-made like off the shelf at Best Buy, are still great deals simply because they're not filled with fucking bloatware like these Asus and HP gaming desktops and shit like that.
Most of the stuff that you would find at Best Buy.
Just the operating system, like none of that extra shit's installed.
I love that. I love that there's companies focused on doing that these days because it used to be if somebody told me they were going to buy a Best Buy PC, I would like physically block them from going to Best Buy. Do not do that. But knowing that you can go into Best Buy and buy just like a blank computer is really nice because all that bloatware, like you sucks. It sucks.
My first family computer was a Gateway computer.
Yeah, I remember those like all-in-one Gateways.
Yeah, it was like packed to the fucking brim with pre-installed bullshit.
That Gateway.
Yeah, it makes no sense. That's the worst.
Gateway was so bad about that. HP, they're terrible with that. Dell, like all those computers, they just come with so much dog shit on them.
Everything was garbage except for the pinball game.
that game had, that was only like a small tutorial, that one pinball machine. There's like some more machines that you could get in that game. I just recently learned that. I'm about to buy this game like 20 years later because that shit was so fucking addicting.
Yeah. I played that in Chex Quest when I, like, relentlessly when I was a kid.
Do you remember Chips Challenge?
Chips Challenge.
I was like,
Were those like learning games?
No, it was like this Microsoft game pack that came with our first Windows 95 PC. It was that, Jez Ball and like Ski Free, and
I had a Toshiba. We had a Toshiba for our family computer before they stopped making computers. And that thing was a monster. And I remember, like, as I was getting more into gaming and stuff, my mom knew a guy that would build PCs at the time. And she was like, well, could you build a gaming PC for my son? And I was 12, 13. And I don't know what she paid this guy for this computer, but it was a hunk of shit. And I thought it was the titties, man. I put Diablo on there, Diablo 2. I thought it was so fucking cool. But I remember looking back now at that PC and it was like, oh my God, I hope she did not give him any amount of money for that.
I remember like the sticker on our first computer. It was 200 megahertz processor.
Beefy.
And 200 megahertz processor, a 2 gigabyte hard drive,
God
and
damn.
16 megabytes of RAM.
16 megabytes.
I need and to. I need to know.
Fucking storage.
I need to. Did you guys ever get down on some Chex Quest? Am I the? I feel like when I bring this game up, I'm often the only one that knows about it.
I have no idea. What you're talking about. It might have been a dream.
It was. No, it was a free game that came in.
It is from Chex. It's
yeah, it's from okay. Chex, the cereal, and it's like a Doom ripoff.
It looks like what was that game? Earthworm Jim, but you're a giant Chex.
Oh my God, yeah. This looks amazing.
it's a first person shooter, and you walk around shooting these like booger monsters, and it was. My fucking childhood, man. I played that game.
You are so the only person that ever played this game.
Fucking apparently.
I don't remember ever seeing this game anywhere. Did you have to get it like out of a box of Chex?
Honestly, I don't remember how I got it. I just remember that I had it.
Because if they were giving out games in boxes of cereal, I was missing the fuck out, man. I wonder if it's on Steam. All right, well, that's pretty much all I got for today. I just kind of wanted to go over some of the parts coming out. Again, where you could go to build some of these PCs if you want to do it on your own. Don't be nearly as intimidated as it sounds. You know, putting together a computer is really fairly easy. You do have to be cautious. You do have to be aware of your, of how to sync up your parts of their compatibility. That's the word. So when you're putting these together, PC Part Picker definitely helps with that. Pay attention to the compatibility. But once you're actually building the PC, it goes together like a really easy Lego set. Everything has its place. Everything fits together real nicely. So if you're a first-time builder, don't be too intimidated. Definitely maybe watch some videos or something, but it's a lot easier than you would expect.
Yeah, it's really not bad at all. And if you really are intimidated anyway, you can find these companies that'll build it for you. And it came out to like the same price. Like I priced out all the components of mine if I were to buy them separately and build it myself, and it was the same price. So there was no surcharge for having them build it for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great to hear. But yeah, like if you're really wanting a PC, this year is going to be a really good year for parts. We're already seeing the CPUs rolling out, the GPUs, your graphics will be coming out later this year. So hold off if you're planning on upgrading your PC and you want a new graphics processor, don't go out there and buy one right now. Because once these 3080s, the big Navis and stuff drop, the current cards as well, even if you didn't want to go for a 3080 or a big Navi, the current cards will drop in price. Usually, NVIDIA does a really good job of that. Like the 1080s are going to be dirt cheap. The 2080s are definitely going to drop in price, other than your like really high-end ones, the TIs, the Titans, stuff like that. But you will see a significant price drop in these cards that are currently out when the new cards do come out. So just wait a few months if you're wanting to upgrade that, because it will be worth it. You will save some money. All right, boys. So what have you got? Anything else? Any parts you come across that you want to talk about? Any other games you want to talk about?
I think that's it for me this week. I think we covered everything I wanted to talk on.
I was here too.
Are you sure? I could tell.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for stopping by. We have our website up and running, 3guys1up.com. Go check us out there. Follow us each on Twitter. I'm at Jesus1up. That's HEZOOS1up. David's at Spurgling. Spencer's at Spencer_3G1up. We got a Facebook going. And so, yeah, come follow us. Come join our Discord. Join in the conversation. Tell us why the parts we talked about are pieces of shit and why nobody should buy them, or how cool we are. I don't care.
So, don't forget to check out our other show, Weekend Watch.
Weekend Watch.
What to watch on streaming services this week.
That'll be on Google, Apple, and Spotify as well, or up on our website too. So stop by, check out the 3guys1up podcast network. Thank you very much for being here this week, and we'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.
Later.
Have a good one.